Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. As of today, we've been married 46 years and 11 months.
Wow.
Like the old hymn says, sweeter is the journey
every day. Loving Jesus really pays.
You want to sing it for me?
Not really, but that's a blessing.
You know, most every person who argues against tithing says it's a part of the law and is not mentioned in the New Testament. That's not true.
Matthew 23, verse 23 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone."
As we've taught before, the Greek word for ought is die, D-E-I, which means must. The scripture is actually saying that tithing must be done.
The word die in the same Greek word is the same Greek word that is used in John 3, verse 7. And in John 3, verse 7, it says, "Marvel not that I said unto ye, ye must be born again." And honey, is also the same Greek word used in Luke 18, 1. Luke 18, verse 1, where it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint."
In other words, men ought to always pray. It is better translated, men must pray.
And help us to pray.
In this passage of scripture, Jesus could have taught against tithing because it's part of the Old Testament, but he did not. In fact, Jesus suggested, no, take that back. He instructed us to pay our tithes as opposed to giving them. Jesus states in very strong language the importance of tithing. I don't think anyone would argue that the tithe applies to a very fixed part of a person's income.
In fact, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2 in the Classic Amplified, demonstrates that we tithe on what we have already received. The verse says this, "Now concerning the money contributed for the relief of the saints, God's people, you are to do the same as I directed the churches of Galatia to do. On the first day of each week, let each one of you personally put aside something and save it up as he has prospered, in proportion to what he is given, so that no collections will need be taken after I come."
That's an amazing verse. We're not going to teach it today, but at some point, we really need to teach that verse because there's some things in there that shake up theology a little bit. What the writer is telling us very specifically is when we're to tithe. Our tithe should be on the first day of each week. Sunday.
That's our Sunday. Yeah,
our Sabbath.
Theirs was Saturday, but the point was, it was on their Sabbath.
So it's our Sabbath. In fact, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 says that each one of you, in other words, every believer, is to set aside an amount to give to God. Why is this important? Because as it says in Leviticus 27:32, the tithe, the tenth, is holy to God. When the scripture says, as he has prospered, it indicates that the person has already received the provision that God has established for them. As indicated, the person's already prospered. And there's a specific amount to be given on the first day of the week. Now let's go a little further. The folks who say tithing is just under the law, fail to realize, recognize, or maybe admit that tithing existed before the law and exists today.
Well before the law. In Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 10 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Boy, we could go into explaining some of that scripture and what it means.
These next three verses are amazing.
It says, here mortal men receive tithes, and there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him.
Let's establish the fact that Abraham tithed to Melchizedek before the law. Now look at verse 8 in Hebrews 7, where it says, here mortal men receive tithes. This particular phrase is present tense. For instance, here could probably be translated as now. The writer of Hebrews, Paul, died roughly 35 years after Jesus died, after Jesus also rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Mortal men is referring to ministers, the disciples and apostles who were alive during the time in Hebrews was written, were receiving tithes. Verse 8 also says, but there he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. The passage clearly talking about Jesus, because he's the only one who lives. Verse 8 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, they're received by one of whom it is testified that he lives perpetually. Jesus tithes, Jesus received tithes, say it that way. Jesus received tithes because he's the only one who lives perpetually. And yes, Jesus is still receiving tithes today through his ministers. The tithe is given through the men and women of God to the Lord as an act of worship and thanksgiving. Jesus did not come to do away with tithing. If he had, his words in Matthew 23:23 would have been totally different. Even if tithing was a part of the law, and it's not, Jesus did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. The Greek word for fulfill, G4137, it means to make full, to fill to full, to render full, to complete, to make complete in every particular, to render perfect, to carry through to the end, to accomplish, carry out some undertaking.
In Galatians 6:7 in the Classic Amplified, it says, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or by professions or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. God will not allow his precepts to be set aside, it says, right? Overlooked or ignored or minimized. Without question, in Malachi 3:10, this is a precept of God, because it says, bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We wouldn't be receiving the blessings if we didn't have to tithe and give offerings.
That's exactly right.
And when is the storehouse, the house of God, done away with? It's not. It's still around.
Not at all. God's precept is simple. If you don't tithe and give offerings, the winds of heaven are closed over your life. Be assured, this is one precept that God will not allow to be set aside. One last point. If the words, and I'm right, and we are, you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain by tithing. But now, we want to share with you now, actually three times, you don't need to tithe.
How about that?
You heard me correct. Three times, three instances where you don't have to tithe. First, you don't tithe on your monthly Social Security check. The reason is simple. The money you receive each month should be money that you previously tithed on when you were working. In other words, you've already tithed on it once. Now, you can give offerings from your monthly check,
right,
as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. But let's also say that if you feel led to tithe on your Social Security check, even though you tithed on your gross during the years you were paying into the system, then so be it, as God leads. If you didn't tithe during your wage-earning years, then that's another matter. In that case, you'd tithe on the money.
Second, you don't tithe on your income tax refund. There's a couple of things we'd like to say about income tax refunds. First, if you're receiving a refund, you should have already tithed on the money. After all, your refund is exactly that. The government is refunding your money, which has been being used for the better part of the year without paying you any interest, of course. But the point of it is the stuff money you've already paid in. Some folks get all excited and even giddy about income tax refunds because to them it's like new money. But the truth of the matter is it's not. It was yours all along. If you're getting a large refund each year, I mean larger than you need to be, we encourage you to increase your deductions so that you have more money to pay bills month by month, especially if you're having trouble there. But, you know, you need to pay bills and do as are directed to do by the Lord.
The bottom line is if you get a large refund, you've been allowing the government to use your money and you get no interest for it.
That's it.
Third, don't tithe on the gross sales of your business. If you own your own business, you do not tithe on the gross sales. Now, let me explain. If you have employees, you do not tithe on the salary you're paying them because that's their responsibility. Years ago, my family owned and operated a Western Auto Store, which is now part of retail history. Each month, we had a sales paper. There was always what we called a loss leader designed to get people into our place of business with the belief that they would buy something else. I remember we sold washing machines for $299. We paid $296 for that washing machine. If we tithed on the total price, sales price of that washing machine, we'd have gone broken out of business.
In a very short time.
In a short time. God would not expect us to tithe $29.90 on a product where we made $3. Here's a good rule of thumb. In business, you tithe on all the money that's available to you after your bills are paid. Now, I'm not talking about you wanting to tithe, we're not tithing on that new car or truck you bought. That money is available to you, but you made a choice, a decision to spend it. So think about these things. And just think about the things we shared in the scripture from the New Testament about tithing.
There you go.
I don't think we're through discussing this. We may talk about it again tomorrow.
But those are three times that many times people do feel like, well, should I tithe on this? Should I tithe on that? So if you got it, you don't have to listen to it again. If you didn't, I'd listen to it again.
Amen.
All right.
Hallelujah. Well, if you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. Check out this week's 2-minute video. And until...
Wow, tomorrow morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
At 8:30 sharp.
Till then, God bless you. Happy trails.
And you keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.